Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Isaac Wilhelmy.
And Rockwell Peterson.
Alright, well, today it's just us two. We're going to talk about our political beliefs and just what we think about it.
Yeah, just generally our worldview, our beliefs that we hold, where we think we fall on the political spectrum overall. Just generally kind of a, you know, further get to know us.
Yeah.
Because we'd love to get to know you guys more, but it's not fair unless we open up a bit.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true.
So, let's get started. Okay, so to kick things off, Isaac, just general political beliefs, worldview.
General political beliefs. Okay. Well, I wasn't very political growing up. I haven't really dabbled in it or just, I don't have a lot of knowledge about politics. So, I don't know how well this will go for me, but I am mainly like conservative right side.
Yeah.
So, I typically lean to the candidates who are Republican and conservative, but I do like to look at both sides, look at like their policies, what they plan to inquire or like put into
enact.
Yeah. That's a word. Enact into the government, the economy, just anything for the country. But yeah, I typically lean to the right more than anything, so.
Fair. Yeah, I would, it's a term not typically used a whole lot in modern day settings.
Mm-hmm.
It was a term that's existed for a while. It was especially popular in about the 1940s to 1960s, I want to say. But I would consider myself a classical liberal, where it's about individual rights. So it can be compared to libertarian. You know, I believe in ethnic equality, gender equality. I am a capitalist, but above all else, I'm a rationalist. You know, I think the capitalistic system works best because it accounts for human error and for errors that occur in any institution that humans create. Mm-hmm. You know, in an analogy that I used earlier with Liam when we were kind of considering this topic, you wouldn't let your neighbor tell you what to do, right?
No, not typically.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Not, no.
Yeah, you wouldn't let your neighbor take a portion of your money. You wouldn't let your neighbor decide what you can and can't do. And I view that very similarly, where it's like, when thinking of it in that light, do you really think that the people in the government are much more intelligent or merited than your neighbor? Like a majority of government workers, I'm not talking about specialists in the FBI or the CIA or the CDC or high-ranking government. I'm saying the people who are actually going to be doing a majority of it.
Well, I'm sure that they know more than my neighbor, like typically because that's what they like, but I can see
you where understand
you're
coming
what
from. I mean.
I can see where you come from.
They're not any better than any other person. Is the analogy that I'm trying to draw. Even the people at the highest levels are still human.
Yeah,
and we all make mistakes, and we all have our own flaws and our own issues and our own screwy way of looking at the world.
Yeah, we are very much imperfect.
Exactly, and that overall is the analogy.
Okay.
That I'm trying to draw here.
Okay.
And I am definitely, you know, right economically, and then on social issues, I'm more left. You know, as an Odinist, marriage to me doesn't mean the same as marriage to Judeo-Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go into that a bit, but it's not super necessary right now. Just that, you know, like, I don't care who's marrying who.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. You know. And as far as pronouns go, because that's been a really recent thing to come up.
Yeah, true.
I couldn't care less. I'll call you whatever you want me to call you,
mm-hmm.
out of respect for my fellow man. But I have an issue when they try to make it a governmental thing. I have an issue when you can be tried and jailed or fined for misspeaking, you know, misgendering, for saying a joke 20 years ago that somebody mm-hmm. finds offensive now, that's way, way, way past the statute of limitations to even be tried for. Like, I cannot get behind that.
Yeah. For me, it's like, if I'm, like, with them out socially and not, like, in a professional setting,
yeah,
then I won't mind calling them what they want to be called.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, like, a professional setting, then I go from, like, biology.
Yeah.
Like, what they were when they were born and what their biology says about them.
Yeah.
Because a man has more testosterone than a woman.
Yeah.
And a woman has more estrogen than a man.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, biologically, like, you can't really change that.
No.
If you want to be a man or a yeah. woman. But
and mind you, I wouldn't mind if legally we added one more pronoun.
What's that?
It's, I believe it was used in Greece. I might be wrong. As always, fact check us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't claim to be
professionalists.
Yeah, yeah. We're not unscripted, uncut, unedited. This is just us talking, and that's the important thing. Is it's just, you know, how we think, right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thoughts in our head and what we've been taught. If you find a fallacy, please contact us. If we are wrong about something, please contact us. We'd love to address it, talk it over with you, you know, discuss how we got to that conclusion. But
mm-hmm.
It was Z and Zay.
Okay, which means?
Well, it's like we have he, him.
Yeah.
And then
she, her. Mm-hmm.
And then Z,
Zay. Okay.
And so imagine, like, he with a Z, and then they with a Z. And so it was like a pronunciation for, you know, that, like, third area. Which I wouldn't mind accommodating legally. I only have an issue with there being an infinite number of pronouns, because you can't expect people to keep up with and adapt to a constantly changing metric. Socially, sure. But legally, we cannot be doing that much paperwork. We cannot keep up with that with our slow, strenuous. If anyone's been to the DMV, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, the process of making a law or just dealing with the government and the bureaucracy is so slow. It cannot keep up with an infinite. Just set a number.
Gotcha.
Whatever that number is, set it.
Mm.
Fall within that range and choose from it.
Gotcha.
In a legal sense.
For that, like, Zay thing you were talking about, would that be, like, be considered the people who like to be called it or they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it would basically, it'd be like, Zay said that, you know, in the same way that you'd say he said or she said.
Yeah.
Zay said.
Okay.
You know, and so it still works grammatically in our language. We don't need to change anything major. It just it just allows for, you know, I don't know if we necessarily need to state our pronouns every time we meet someone. Yeah. I don't think we need to necessarily be asking everyone for their pronouns, but if it does matter to you, just say, hey, I'd prefer if you referred to me as Z-Zay. You know, it's not that hard. Like, you just, like, you could just switch it out that fast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like, some people get mad for people calling them he or she, yet they didn't specify what they want to be called. So it's just like a bit back and forth thing that goes on.
Well, that's the issue, is it's like we can't expect everyone to ask about pronouns. We can't expect everyone to state their pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also difficult to avoid somebody getting angry if you say the wrong one.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. So it's finding that way around it. And I think part of it is we all just need to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
Figure it out.
Yeah. We just need to sit down and work through this logically, because I think we're too emotionally driven these days.
Mm. Yeah.
And another topic that I feel as if we'll disagree on because of worldview and religious bases.
Okay.
As far as abortion goes, I don't consider myself necessarily pro-life or pro-choice. I kind of consider myself, I don't like being a centrist, but I like finding compromises. I think there's a difference there. Centrists tend not to care or think that both sides are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer compromise. You know, I think there's ways that we can work around this without having as much struggle and strife as we do. So I would be fine with, and I propose, having it be 1.5 trimesters you can have an abortion. Because about 1.5 trimesters in, it begins developing human characteristics. It begins developing a nervous system and having a heartbeat. It begins becoming human. It can recognize its mother. It can feel pain. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm like, before that, I don't, as an Odinist, I don't necessarily believe that life begins at conception.
Gotcha.
So that difference in worldview and religion allows me to say, hey, look, I don't think anyone is going to be happy if one side wins on this debate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just striking it right down the middle at 1.5.
Gotcha. And how long would that be, 1.5 cement or tries? What?
Yeah. So, a woman is pregnant for
9 months. Uh-huh.
And I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical professional, nor am I a woman. So, I don't have the stats off the top of my head, mm-hmm. the trimesters. Plus, I don't remember anything from biology.
Same.
But, let's just do a ballpark, say about 3.5 to 4.5 month range.
Okay.
You know, so it's like you still have time.
Mm-hmm.
You still have time to, you know, get the appointment set up, figure out if you want to do it or not, consider it. But it stops, you know, late-term abortions. It stops what I think a lot of pro-lifers stand against, like the harm of a human being. You know, I understand that Christian pro-lifers focus on, you know, life begins at conception, but not every pro-lifer is Christian. And so there's going to be religious differences in that area, which is why I'm like, I think it'd be good to just strike a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm all about individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as long as it's not intruding or imposing upon someone else, you're allowed to just kind of do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Within reason, of course. And I don't think it's unreasonable to give someone that right while also providing a time limit within a reasonable fashion.
Gotcha. Yeah, because, what was it? I'm pro-life. Mm-hmm. My religious beliefs are, yes, life starts at conception.
Yeah.
And I know some other people say it's like a parasite living inside of you. But I believe that conception is life. That's when life starts. I did like a pro-life speech, I think around 1.5 years ago. So I kind of remember it, kind of not. But I believe around the 10-week mark is when stuff starts kicking into gear, when they start getting like forming a nose, some sort of a nose and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm very pro-life, and I do believe it's a life inside of the womb. And yeah, I'm just against abortion. I know that if we do make abortion illegal again, that there will be coat hanger abortions and all mm-hmm. that, just because you can't stop that.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to avoid, is the fact that this country is no longer all or comprised of similar religions. Mm-hmm. This country no longer shares, you know, all the same moralities.
Yeah.
And the two sides are so polarized that I don't think swinging one way or the other is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we're not going to engage in civil discourse as long as one side is definitively winning.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Because it's like...
I can see where it's...
Through the compromise, I want to bring us to a point where the two sides are on equal footing, and instead of emotionally charged back and forth fighting, we come to a standstill where everyone actually has to think and is given time to think and can discuss things logically and engage in civil discourse like we're encouraging on this channel. Because even though we may not agree on the issue, I'm just hoping to understand each other's viewpoints.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And that's what I'm saying, is it like just that compromise of 1.5 trimesters, you know, before the development of those things, still giving them time to decide what they want to do. And it gives those people the choice while still protecting that child's life after a certain amount of time.
Okay.
You see what I mean there? Cause
I can see where you're coming from, but for me personally...
I don't expect you to agree with it.
Yeah, for me personally, I do believe it's a baby from conception, and it's horrible that there's laws now where, I don't know where exactly, but even after birth, you can just eliminate the baby.
I'm not quite sure it's written into law, but it has been discussed by... Governor, I forget. Definitely look it up though.
Yeah, because I think I heard somewhere that it was law, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Like, I don't know everything, but yeah, no, I'm definitely gonna stick by my belief of pro-life, because a human life is, to me, so meaningful,
mm-hmm.
and that I consider conception a human life. Like that's when a human life starts. It's just gonna, like. Protect. I want to protect the babies, because mm-hmm. they don't have a choice in that. It's their parents, and their parents could be going through some stuff, but you could always put the baby up for adoption.
I just want to take, like, we'll move on here soon,
because
we've focused on this for too long, but just to wrap up this field of discussion, I want to take the extremes off the table, you know, like mother's death, baby's death, you know, things that would require something as severe as an abortion.
Okay.
I'm talking just the choice to have one or not, not the medical necessity, you know, outside of rape and stuff like that. And that's just where, because we don't share the same beliefs, and I absolutely respect yours. I'm just...
Yeah, I respect yours, too.
Well, thank you. So. Yeah, I'm just simply stating where I think a good compromise would be. And I could very well be wrong, but that's just how I see it. Moving on to another one. I definitely believe in strong borders. You know, you can't be a sovereign nation without strong borders.
Yeah.
I understand that open borders is a capitalist idea, believe it or not. It allows for essentially free labor, cheap goods, more money through higher profit margins going into the people who produce it, less money going into the pocket of the consumer buying it. Because it's not fueling the jobs in America, it's fueling jobs in China when you buy this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it is pretty cheap, but you know, there's a certain point where I just think we've allowed ourselves to stray too far from having manufacturing at home, you know, here in the U.S. quality manufacturing.
Yeah,
And
we rely too much on the other countries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
China, we rely way too
heavily. Oh, yeah. For sure.
We are way too in debt to them and relying way too heavily on them.
Yeah.
I say we reopen the Rust Belt. I say we send people in. We fix it up. People want jobs. People want to work, especially after this coronavirus outbreak and this quarantine ends. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of people looking for jobs.
For sure.
You know, and I say open up some factory jobs that won't kill you.
Yeah.
Pays well, produces quality products.
And I mean, we have the land to do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have the infrastructure to do it.
Yeah.
The Rust Belt is literally just factories sitting empty.
Mm-hmm.
Boot them up again. Update them. Send in some health code inspectors. Figure out what you need to do to get them up and running again.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Yeah. Provide tax breaks to companies that bring jobs back into the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they'll take a hit. They'll take a hit changing from Chinese labor to American labor.
Oh, yeah.
But through tax breaks and the fact that they won't have to deal with tariffs shipping their goods back and forth, we can actually make it profitable for them. Plus, it'll be putting more money into the American economy, into the pocket of American workers, which would allow them to afford the more expensive goods more easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to take a hit, but, I mean, what? Normal businesses take a small hit, or a hit in the beginning, but yet they grow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going to take a hit, but they're going to grow, and it's going to be better for the economy.
Absolutely.
In general.
I think now is the right time to do it, because we're already handing out stimulus packages.
Yeah.
We're already at a point where pretty much everything is shut down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they reopen somewhere else. Reopen in the Rust Belt. Reopen in areas where jobs have been missing for a while.
Yeah. Like, make more manufacturers so people can have more jobs. Because that will open so many jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you can open multiple, boom, even more jobs, even more, like, circulation in the American economy. So we don't have to rely on other countries for their goods.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that regulations are important to protect to protect the consumer.
Yeah.
And the environment and the business. But I think we've gone a bit overboard on regulations. I'd like some committees put together, some review boards put together to just go through regulations and find ones that are outdated, unnecessary, unneeded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ones that just kind of hinder businesses, because 80% of new businesses fail. And as the job market gets more competitive, so will starting a business. And that's why I think rolling back some of these regulations could really, really help new businesses. Because the spirit of America, above all else, is entrepreneurship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Entrepreneurship. I'm going to talk about that for a second. Too many people want to be entrepreneurs. Too many people want to run businesses. But yet, we need good followers.
Absolutely.
We need good followers and to trust their leader, like an entrepreneur. We need the followers to trust them. Because if we have all entrepreneurs, we're just going to fall.
Yeah.
And crash.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm kind of being contradicting myself right now because I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to run businesses. I want to have my own business. But yet I will follow until I get there.
Absolutely.
I will follow good leaders and be an employee.
I think we need to stop teaching people how to be leaders and teach people how not to follow blindly. Because you can't make a leader out of a follower. You can't make a follower out of a leader.
Yeah.
It's their choice what they want to do and how they want to change. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Doesn't matter how many classes you put them through. It doesn't matter how many programs you put them through. A follower will not become a leader unless put in the right situation and if they want to be.
Yeah. And like colleges.
Yeah.
They just grind to make leaders.
Absolutely.
Which, like,
I disagree with you. I disagree with you on that. But I will settle that in just a second. We're going to go to a quick ad break. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back in just a second. I actually don't believe that colleges or our education system makes leaders. I think they make faux leaders that are best for small-level management.
Okay.
They make cogs in a machine. They make employees. They don't make entrepreneurs. If they're making leaders and entrepreneurs and people who could truly step up to the plate, what they'd be teaching is emotional intelligence. What they'd be teaching is fiscal responsibility, how to manage your finances, economics. They'd be teaching things that you shouldn't have to go to college to get the understanding of. And after taking some of these classes in college, even then, it is so incredibly geared towards turning people into cogs in a machine.
Okay.
Because in our Western society, if you're not alpha, you are not a man. Which I don't agree with. I think there's a lot of respect to have in following the right leader. I don't think everyone should try to be alpha, because that just slows everything down. Accept that you're the beta in the situation. Accept the fact that someone knows better than you, and part of it is pride. I really do believe that part of it is pride.
I could see that. See why I say that? Is because, like, with my experience with college, is leader. Like, I went to a leadership retreat, and they always just press to make leaders. Like, leaders, leaders, leaders. But after you saying that, having them be, like, management leaders, like, employee leaders, not, like, entrepreneur leaders.
Not CEOs, not business leaders.
I can see...
You see what I mean?
I see that now.
Because it's like going through those leadership retreats, what do they teach you? They don't teach you emotional intelligence skills. They don't teach you how to treat the people underneath you. They don't teach you how to raise the morale of the people that you are leading. They teach you what you should look like. It's a show. It's a show. And it reminds me a lot of that fad, that scam that was like, how to be a player, how to pick up women, how to be an alpha male. It reminds me of the same thing, only they're doing it to kids now. They're doing it to impressionable teenagers that don't know any better. They're doing it to kids that are never taught, and most of the time aren't shown what a true leader looks like. What a true leader should be. And so instead, they're taught how to look like it, how to act the part, how to strive to be the leader. Well, what happens if you run everyone through a leadership retreat? There's going to be maybe three people out of every 100 that actually has what it takes to be a good leader.
To be an entrepreneur, CEO.
And everyone else is going to walk around thinking that they deserve that position.
Because they went through that and they know.
It creates unnecessary competition. It creates a sense of entitlement. It just reminds me of our participation trophy culture. There's no actual competition. What they're trying to create is a society where if everyone's a leader, no one is. Nothing gets done. Nothing moves forwards. No one is able to actually agree. Everything just gets more polarized. And the people creating these systems stay in power. And I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist in this aspect. Like, it's just a fact of our society.
Because the people in power have figured out, oh, how can we make them think they're leaders?
Exactly.
Even though they're going to be our employees.
How do you control a populace? How do you control humans? You make them feel more important than they actually are. If you look at it statistically across the board, especially with our modern culture, with the generations we're dealing with right now, if they don't understand the importance of the work they're doing, they're not going to feel fulfilled by it. We need an understanding now. Well, how do you give people that understanding without actually telling them what they're doing? You make them feel like leaders. You give them fake promotions. You give them dead-end jobs that slowly rise so that they have power over maybe one more person every 3 years.
And so that they're just moving along slowly.
Yeah.
And every rise, they think they're getting higher, yet it's a dead-end job.
Exactly. But they never realize it because there's rungs to climb on the ladder.
Mm.
But if you're climbing that ladder and you're so focused on getting to that next rung and you're not looking at the ladder as a whole, you're not looking where you're climbing to, you're going to spend your whole life just focused on getting to that next rung.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, you're going to realize you've run out of rungs. You've done nothing with your life. And I'm not bashing 9-to-5 jobs.
No.
I think they're great. I think more people need to do them. I've worked them. I've worked weird shifts. I've worked some weird jobs. But
it's a good... Yeah, it's good experience.
Exactly. I think that it's important for just everyone to be aware, and above all else, we need to teach emotional intelligence, because I think a big problem in our society and our country today is a lack of emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they truly want to make leaders, we need to do that.
Exactly.
But like, going back on what we were saying,
yeah,
we don't want to make everyone leader.
No.
Because that would just end horribly.
Yeah.
We're just saying, like, how we can make more people better leaders.
Absolutely. I
not everyone.
Well, it makes people feel like they're a better person if they're a leader. If they're a better leader.
Yeah.
But then nothing, like I said, nothing gets done. We need to teach people how to lead, what to look for in leaders, not how to be one.
Yeah.
We need to teach people not to blindly follow, because a lot of leadership is based on competency, talent, experience, wisdom. There's a lot of things there.
Mm-hmm. And if people don't look at that, and don't see it, and don't pay attention to it, they will blindly follow, like...
Exactly. Said, yeah. And that's the danger, is blindly following. That's what scares me.
Mm-hmm. We need to teach those people who want to follow what they should look for in following a leader.
I think a big issue is that we've gone astray in our definition of humility, of what it is to be humble. Okay. Because we have reached a point where being humble is viewed as denying that you're good at anything, denying that you can do anything, denying that you are skilled in anything, just saying that you're just as good as the next person, you know, we're all the same playing field, that no one's better than anyone else. No, that's not humility. Humility and being humble is recognizing that you're good at something, but not believing that you're entitled to anything or better than anyone else because of it.
Yeah.
Because with the view of humility we have now, it destroys self-esteem. My self-esteem skyrocketed as soon as I changed my way of thinking, you know, because then I was able to go, wow, I am good at this.
Mm.
Doesn't mean I'm fundamentally better than anyone else because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I'm entitled to anything because of it.
Yeah.
But I can be proud of myself. I can take pride in what I do without being prideful. I can talk about and be interesting and develop a personality around things that I want to do, around things I enjoy.
And that's true humility. That's true humbleness. And that's what we should teach.
Absolutely.
I agree with you on that, on how we're teaching people bad ways of being humble.
Absolutely.
Like saying, oh... acknowledging that you're bad at this is humble. It's like, no.
No.
Acknowledging that you're good at it, but not being entitled, like you said.
That's absolutely
how we should teach people how to be humble.
No, I think people should acknowledge when they're bad at something as well.
Yeah.
Find the things you're good at. You don't need to do the same thing as everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And if you're bad at something you like and you want to do, get better.
Yeah, work on it. That's work will beat talent 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
It will.
Oh, yeah.
Now, talent and work will beat a lack of talent and work every time. Because if you have that talent and you work hard, you will beat someone because you're already at a further position along.
Oh, okay.
Than someone who is untalented
I get it.
And working just as hard as you are.
Mm.
Because you start off with that natural ability to go farther.
Yeah.
You know, you working hard will carry you farther if you're already talented. So find the things that you're talented in and work hard at them.
Yeah. See, that's a good way of looking at it. That's a good way, good point of view. But I believe, like, yeah, I agree with that. But I also believe following what you love to do is very important. Because you might be talented at something like football, but you don't love it.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with chasing a football, like being a professional football player, if you don't love it.
That's fair, but there are many things in this world that are very, very similar to things that we're already good at. Take football for an example.
Okay.
I am training for this event in October that I plan on going to, and I'm hoping you and some of the boys that I'm training will be able to join me. Yep. It's a full-speed, medium-impact, fully-armored fighting event. And I've always, you know, I was always good at football, but I didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably could have played college ball if I would have invested myself and actually gone into it. Same with basketball.
Yeah.
But I found that outlet through something else, through fully-armored combat, through, you know, it's that same physical aggression, it's that same mentality, working as a team, following a leader, you know, and not blindly following a leader, trusting in your fellow man, trusting in the guy who's got your back, trusting in the armor or the gear that you've got on, and trusting in the plays that your coach or captain or your squad leader draws up for you.
Yeah, and like, oh, what was I gonna say? Dang it. Yeah, like that, how you were good at football, yet you changed it to something else that you love to do. And I know, like, it also brings history into it, too, because I know you love history.
I do.
So, I feel like that might have pushed you more towards that way.
Oh, absolutely. Since you
love history. And it's just, like, the same, like, physical and strengthness that you need in football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying don't be afraid to explore.
Mm-hmm.
If you are good at something but you don't like it, look for things that are similar to it.
Yeah. Look for things that are similar to it that you would enjoy, that you would love.
Exactly. Exactly.
Slipping up on my words.
You're all good. But yeah, no, like I said, a lot of it comes down to viewpoint, and I think something we really need to address is a lot of guys, especially during this quarantine outbreak, are lacking purpose. I know I am. This podcast has given me purpose.
Yeah.
Training the unit has given me purpose.
Mm.
These things make me want to get up in the morning. They make me excited. They make me, they get my brain turning, and I think a lot of guys need that.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that being a man requires purpose, it requires a mission, and it's also by getting good at that, like we, to tie back to humility, getting good at something you enjoy.
Yeah.
Having that strength that you know you have, building up that self-esteem and confidence, knowing that you are good at something, but not holding it over other people. Mm-hmm. Exercising restraint in the power that you have makes you a real man.
Yeah, makes you a true man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ability, because I'm going to be honest, when I'm training you guys, I think you guys are well aware, I have the ability to just put you in the dirt every single time, humiliate you, beat you bloody, and walk away with barely a scratch. But
you don't.
I don't.
Yeah.
Because it's that bridling of that power.
Mm-hmm. You notice how we're not as knowledgeable and as trained as you are, but you don't really show it.
Yeah.
You show it, you do show it, but by training us about it.
Yeah. I want you guys to be able to protect yourselves. I want you guys to have fun, and I want you guys to see in it what I see. Mm-hmm. The potential in each and every one of you to be great.
Mm-hmm. Be a true man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's through the combat training I give you. I don't care if it's through painting, I don't care if it's through miniatures that you build, I don't care if it's through a game, whatever it is, find something that makes you feel good about who you are.
Yeah.
Get good at that thing. And then, rather than being a bully and using it to just beat down other people and prove you're better, hold back. Show restraint. Know that you could beat someone in that. Make it a fair game. You will feel so much better about yourself.
And if you want, teach others.
Yeah.
Because teaching's fun. Not gonna lie.
I cannot express enough. Like, I have found, I think, one of my true passions in teaching people how to fight, teaching people how to defend themselves, especially those I care about.
Yeah.
Well, unless there's anything else you want to go over?
No, I think that's a good thing to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As always, unscripted, uncut, unedited.
Oh, yeah.
We really can't thank you guys enough for tuning in. Yeah. I know we say it a lot, but it just means the world to us. It really does.
It does.
It
truly does.
You guys just taking time out of your day to listen to what we do, to what we talk about, just like, we'd love to have anyone who wants to be on the show on here. We'd love to have you in the studio. We'd love to have you with us. And if you're feeling shy, if you feel like you can't do it, we'd love to bring you in for some practice rounds. We'd love, just send us questions.
Yeah,
we'd love to do audience Q&A's. We'd love to live stream them.
Oh yeah, that would be tons of fun.
Yeah, like I just interacting with you guys. Because you guys really mean the world to us.
Yeah, you do.
So if you want to contact us, you can follow us at Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram. You can email us at PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com. And
can I have a quick shout-out?
Absolutely.
I want to give a quick shout-out to all those people in different countries.
Yeah!
We've noticed that we've gotten some listeners from Germany, Finland, Slovakia, and the United Kingdom. Like, shout-out to you guys. This is awesome.
We also have some listeners in Australia. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Like, it's just, it's so cool to have, like, an international basis.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool the outreach that you can have.
It is.
Honestly, it's all worth it if we can better just one person's life. Just brighten one person's day during these dark times.
Yeah, just make someone happier.
Yeah.
Just enjoy their life more. Anyway.
That should wrap up today's episode.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you guys for listening, and don't forget, keep pondering.